How many of you have ever had trouble with relationships? Today, I want to talk about, the title of my message is First and Foremost as we get into relationships. You can't live without them. The human race continues because of relationships. They can cause a lot of unhappiness in our life. They also can bring a lot of joy to our lives. One truth about relationships is they're never easy. They take a lot of work. As human beings, we seem to always be in search of the perfect relationship, aren't we? And that's kind of interesting because a relationship will be two very imperfect people seeking to have a perfect relationship. All of life, really, if you look at it, is about relationships. You're born out of a relationship. You're born into a relationship. Immediately, you come into a world in a relationship. And in the kingdom of God, you're born again by a relationship and into a relationship. Indeed, it's been said that Christianity is a relationship, is it not? Amen. Wars are started because of relationships that go bad. Children are born out of relationships. Some people are good with relationships. You ever known people? Boy, they're just so good with relationships. And others run from any kind of relationship. Ever met anybody like that? Maybe we can be like that sometimes. But God, the truth is, God created us as relational people. Jesus said this to his disciples, and he's bringing in the New Testament Christianity, explaining new things, and he used a word. He says, I'm going to build. He said, I'm going to build something, and he used a word nobody ever connected with the kingdom of God before. It had been the patriarchy, the 12 tribes and rituals, and he said, I'm going to start something called the church. Everybody's like, what? What's that? And the word in the Greek, it doesn't mean a building or a sign or an organization. It can be all those things, but the word is a compound unity. It's individuals that come together, kind of like the word team. The word was ekklesia. It means called out ones. That's interesting, but because we're called out of something into something. And we're really called into relationships. In fact, that's the way the New Testament tries to describe to us this enigma called the church. In Colossians 1:18, a New Testament scripture describes the church this way. It says, he is also, talking about Jesus, head of the body, the church. The body, the church. And we see multiple scriptures in the New Testament that say the church, it compares the church to the human body. That's one analogy. Now, it's also compared to a family. Those are relationships, right? It's also compared to an army. Those are relationships. It's also compared to a bride. They're all relational terms. But let's stick with this one for a few minutes here, the body. And go with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. More talking about the body, this thing that we're a part of, that Jesus said he was going to build, that he was going to do on the earth. News, it was news, it was a news flash. I'm doing something new on the earth. What's it? What is it, Jesus? Church. All right, what is it? He tries to explain it to us through New Testament. Verse 16 here, from whom, talking about Jesus again, he's the head, from whom the whole body being fitted, now think about yourself, you're part of this miraculous organism, living organism, a body. Bodies are amazing. You know that? Have you ever studied? I mean, my major at University of Florida before I switched was exercise physiology, anatomy and physiology. And you spend a lot of time, and I was always amazed. That's amazing. That we function, it's amazing. So many intricate parts and how interdependent they are. How you can study the body and not believe in a creator, it's beyond me, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together, the church, right, is fitted and held together by what? A mystical glue from heaven. Is that what it says? By the supernatural power. No, he's going to make it just practical and real. Fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building of itself in love. What causes it? every joint. What's a joint? It's an articulatory surface. It's where two parts come together. Two parts. That's why people say, well, I have church by myself. Really? You must be reading a new Bible someplace, because it says church is where parts come together. But see, maybe they've had some bad experience with relationships, so they've invented this new concept of church where I don't have to have relationships, where we don't have to have articulatory surfaces, where they rub, where the parts rub and cause friction and pain sometimes. But that's what a joint is. It's where parts come together. It's connections. It's where rubbing takes place, touching, scraping, bruising sometimes, healing sometimes. You need your joints. How many appreciate your joints? Amen. If you didn't have any joints, you'd be like this column right here. Just immovable. Aren't you glad you have some joints that work? Before we can talk about, and we want to in this series, talk about these relationships and how we get wounded in relationships and hurt in relationships. And sometimes that prevents us from having good relationships down the road because we put up walls and barriers and defenses. And how many of you know if you have a wound, you don't want anybody touching it? Oop, don't touch my wound. No, I'm protecting it. And we get like that sometimes, and it prevents us from walking in the fullness of what God has for us, because church is about joints. Articulatory surfaces, they're coming together, they're touching, and that's what enables you to walk and move and talk, and everything is surfaces, is rubbing, it's the joints. And so we want to end this series, talk about possible hindrances that we've had from the past that we bring into our present that keep us from having good relationships. And we need to have relationships because that's what we're all about. What I want to talk about today is the foundation for all good human relationships, and it is having a good relationship with God. That's where it all starts. That's the most important relationship. The foundation of all relationships is your relationship with God. If it's not working, no other relationships work the way they're supposed to. Indeed, the first commandment that Jesus gave, I like to come back to this all the time because I sometimes just want to make it simple. And I always think, well, how basic can we bring the gospel? And I think, well, it must be the first commandment. That Jesus, this is it. This first commandment. What is it? Love the Lord. All your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. The guy only asked him for the great command, but he continued on. And he said, and the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. All relationships, all these commandments, as he said, you got to have a relationship with God. You got to have a relationship. You got to love people, and you have to love yourself. But the first comes first, right? The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Don't get the second ahead of the first. Keep the first first. Relationships with people don't work well if our relationship with God isn't working well. In fact, the scripture tells us about this in 1 John chapter 4. You know, really, you can't love people if you don't love God. 1 John 4:7 says this, beloved, let us love one another. What's that? Relationships. We're supposed to. Speaking to the church, let us love one another, for love is from God. So he tells us we're supposed to have this in our relationship, and then he tells us where it comes from. It comes from God, right? For love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. In other words, we could turn it around and say, if I'm born of God and know God, I have this love that I can bring into my relationships. And then look at the next verse. For the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. That's where you get love. You get love from a relationship with God, and you get it to bring into these other relationships. We have to start with the foundation of all relationships. Now, on your seat was the 7 characteristics of a healthy life. If you pick those up and look at them, you may still have yours in your Bible from before. We did it originally as I fill in the blanks, and all the blanks are filled in for you today as you have this one. This is a scientific study done on over 2 million people who go to church, and they analyzed people that were healthy, happy and healthy, and people who were not healthy and happy. And then they took the people that are healthy and tried to find 7 common characteristics in these people's lives that determined their health. And here they are. And I don't remember if they were put in any particular order, but I like the to me, the first one is the first one. Let's just read through these. And I would appreciate if you would take this home with you and meditate it. Meditate on it this week. And let some of them, just the Holy Spirit, just bring it out to you and say, that's what I need to work on. That's what I needed to hear. Yeah, that's seven characteristics of a healthy life. And say, are any of these characteristics missing in your life? Maybe that's what produces a lack of good health in your life. The first characteristic of over 2 million people on 6 different continents is enjoying your relationship with God, participating out of delight rather than duty. We'll come back to that. That's where I want to kind of camp out for a little bit today. The second characteristic is embracing your uniqueness and the calling that God has on your life. You know what? That's a relationship too. It's the relationship you have with yourself. How's that one going? I shared with you a couple weeks ago, you know, for a large part of my life as a teenager, I always wanted to look like somebody else, be like, you know, I didn't like myself. That's a bad place to be. And this is a characteristic of a healthy person, embracing your uniqueness. Like your hair color, your eye color, the way you look. It's okay. That's the way God made you. Be okay with it. Embrace your uniqueness. Amen. And quit trying to be like somebody else and look different. Hey, that's a start of a good, you know, if you don't like you, how, when you have relationships, people pick that up. You start good, that's a start of good relationships, is liking yourself, appreciating how God made you. Number three, feeling empowered to be creative and pursue your dreams. Four, having a sense of purpose and focus and living out of this purpose every day. Five, laughing. I think this one applies to relationships. Laughing and finding humor in all areas of life. Listen, I've found it's hard to have a relationship with somebody who's always negative. You can, and sometimes you try to help those people, but do you really want to be around people that are always down? And, you know, it's like you can only take so much of that. It's like you have to get all built up to help them out, but I can only take so much. You can only, you know, wear me down, so I can give you a little bit of, you know, I can only be drained so far, and then I can't, you know. You ever been around people like that? They're just draining. Well, how about, do we drain other people? Are we somebody that puts into because we have a good outlook on life? I think this is an important one regarding to relationships. Laughing and finding humor in all areas of life, even yourself. Amen. Number six, developing. And this one, of course, one of the seven characteristics of a healthy life is directly related to relationship, as number one was. Developing life-giving relationships. And we'll get into this one in more detail in a coming week, because this one is directly with how to handle the hurts. And I want to talk about that, not this week, but maybe next week or the one after. Getting free from some of the baggage of the past. And six, developing life-giving relationships by addressing hurts, wounds, and disappointments as they occur. And again, we'll come back to that. I don't want to get off on that one today. And number seven, focusing on others more than yourself. How many of you think that would be good for relationships? Focusing on others more than yourself. So these are seven characteristics of healthy people. Let's go back to number one, though. This is where I wanted to be today. Enjoying your relationship with God. Are you spending time with God every day? And are you doing it out of a sense of duty or a sense of enjoyment? Do you spend time with God because you know you're supposed to do it? When does it ever become that which gives you life? If your relationship with God isn't exciting and life-giving, maybe it's time to go back and look at our attitude and how we come to God. Because it really should be life-giving. It should be enjoyable. It should come to a place in time where it's not, I got to put my time in, and as soon as I get there, boom. It should come to a place where it's like, boy, I wish I didn't have so many other things to take care of so I could spend the whole day with God. And then, well, I'll just take him with me and go about my business. And you just, that time alone with God just becomes the foundation of all other relationships and everything else you do. Like Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. not out of duty. And really, I don't know about you, but I was raised in church. We went to church every Sunday. I went to the church school 5 days a week, 6 days a week. I was in church and listening to it. And this was a very foreign concept to me. I mean, I was there every day. I was learning. I was being taught. Nobody ever told me about enjoying God. It was all duty. It was all, you got to do this or something bad's going to happen to you. That was the way I related to God. God is mean. God is harsh. I got to do certain things or he going to be mad at me. I had this concept the way I thought, if I ever miss church on Sunday, I better watch out for lightning on Monday. That's just really the way I thought. The lightning bolt was going to hit me on Monday. You better not miss church unless you were really, really, really sick or something like that. I never thought as church like David. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord today. Man, I'm running to the house. I want to run to my time with God. Enjoying, do you actually enjoy your relationship with God or is it a duty? Is it something you have to do? Something's wrong. He's the most enjoyable being in the universe. Listen, if he had a refrigerator, he'd have your picture on it. He loves you. What's something wrong with trying to be afraid of that kind of a being who thinks about you? The Bible says day and night. He wants your good. He loves you. He already proved it. He gave something that was so precious to him. The most precious thing he had in the universe, he gave him up for you. He loves you. He made a plan to repair your relationship when it was broken in the garden. And that kind of being, we don't want to spend time with him. What's wrong with that? What do we think is better than God? Enjoying. Somehow Christianity's got a little bit messed up. And we got to get back to the basics. Loving the Lord. Enjoying. I love this line out of the Westminster Catechism. It says this, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to love and enjoy him forever. Amen. What a revelation. I love that. I heard that about 35 years ago, and boy, I just never let go of that. I said, man, that's true. You want to know the meaning of life? Glorify God and love and enjoy him. I liked how they put that in there. Enjoy him forever. Yeah, you start now. You ought to enjoy God now, and we're going to enjoy him throughout eternity. I'm looking forward to that, but I found out we can enjoy him on this earth. In the midst of the curse, in the midst of sickness and disease and pain and lack and stuff that we don't understand, stuff happens we don't understand. Is that not right? Why? Because we're not God. So we don't understand everything, but we do understand this. He's for me and not against me. He's a good God. He's on my side. I want to be on his side and I love him and I want to learn to enjoy God. Enjoying God, that's the foundation of all relationships. Learning to enjoy God. Are you spending time with God every day? Are you letting God love you? Or are we spending time with our petitions, and nothing wrong with that, everything I need, maybe even interceding for other people and doing great things, moving mountains, but do we ever just take time to let God love us? Do you ever just take time to sit there and let him pour his love into your heart? Enjoying God. What does that mean, to enjoy God? I found God's a very enjoyable being. He's easy to be around. He's good. He's kind. He's loving. He's all-knowing. Think about that. He knows all your faults and still loves you. That's a pretty good friend. He knows everything you've ever done, everything you've ever said, and guess what? Still loves you. Still rooting for you. Still believes in you. Yeah, he does. He believes you're a winner. He believes you're going to make it. He has this great plan for your life. He does. He has a great plan. I know. The Bible tells me that. Jeremiah 29. I know the plans that I have for you. To plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. God only has good plans for you. What's not to like about God? What's not to like about spending time with God? Are you enjoying your relationship with God? How about this? Are you investing in your relationship with God? We know that from practical teachings on marriages and relationships. You have to invest into it to get to expect it to be prosperous, right? Well, the same thing's true for our God. What am I investing into my relationship with God? I'm going to share with you my very favorite verse in the Bible. I would call it my life verse. Do you have a life verse? You ought to think about your life verse. What scripture in the Bible motivates you to get up every morning and drives you and pushes you into what you do, why you do what you do, and your relationship with God? Here's mine right here. It's in Genesis 5:24. Maybe a kind of a obscure verse of scripture that you wouldn't think would be anybody's favorite verse, but it is mine. It's Genesis 5:24, and it's this. It says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." That's the most amazing, to me, the most challenging, most amazing. When I read that, I said, I want to be like that. Now, you have your own life verse. That's great. I mean, we're all different. But what that says to me, Enoch walked with God. That is so challenging to me. And it appears what happened, and there's a little bit more. You don't know a lot about Enoch. He's just in the list of genealogy. So-and-so was born, and then he had this child at this age, and then he lived this long, and then he died. And the same thing, same thing, same thing, same thing. And then in that genealogy, this chronology, they insert this little verse here that they don't say like this about anybody else. It just says, and oh, by the way, Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. And then Hebrews tells us that God just took him up. He said, by faith, he did not see death, but was taken up. By faith. In other words, he had faith. His desire of his heart was to just be in heaven with God, and God just took it without dying. Now, that's not my desire, is to not die, but my desire is to be like that. And the second favorite verse that I have is in Philippians chapter 3. And get this from the Apostle Paul, a statement that he had. I think he was just like that. Because this verse, Philippians 3:10, I can tell you the first time I was just a brand new Christian. I went to a Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting, and this guy was getting up to give a speech about Jesus. They were having these Jesus 76, 78, 79 meetings in Orlando, and he was giving up. And the first, he said, before I tell you about that, he said, I just want to share a verse with you. And he read this verse, and it stuck on my corpus callosum. It got down in my heart. I've never forgotten it. It was like, whoa, I like that. And here's what it is, Philippians 3:8. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And then verse 10 says it again, that I may know him. That I may know him. And I just thought, boy, that's a good life verse. Something to do. The moniker for your life, the desire for your life, just to know him, that I may know. That's what Paul said. He said, this is why I do everything that I do. He says, I forget what lies behind, bad things, good things, I forget. And he says, I do everything that I do, I count them all but rubbish, that I may know him. That's his desire, to have a relationship with God. Not just knowing about him, but to actually know him. Sometimes we get in Christianity where we just want to know more and more and more about God. And that's okay if your goal is, I want to know more about him because I just really like him. And the goal is to get to know him, not just to have a big head and say, well, I know a lot about God. But do you know God? And I pray that your life call would be to know him and to walk with him. The foundation of all relationships, before we can get into in the coming weeks, dealing with different types of relationships, we got to deal with the most basic relationship. To be honest with you, if you don't have a good relationship with God, all the instructions and things we can talk about relationships with people ain't going to work. Because you have to get your life from God. If you don't get your life and support from God, all other relationships will be unhealthy. If you don't get your life, this happens in many relationships, sometimes marriage relationships. People are not getting life, and they think, if I get married, then I'll get life from this person, and I'll be happy. And then and sometimes that's the case for both people. I'm going to get life from this other person. And then they drain the life out of that person, and that can be in a marriage relationship, in any kind of relationship, that you think you're going to get life from that person, and you can for a while, but people only have a limited amount of life in them. God is unlimited. We have to go to God to get our life, and then we bring life into our relationships. If everybody is getting their life from God when we have relationships, we're bringing an unlimited potential source of life into the relationships that we have so they can be abundant. if we haven't got our life from God, we're trying to get life from another individual, and that's very limited, and pretty soon that life runs out, and it's very frustrating. And then you get angry at that person because they're not God. You get angry at that person because they're not meeting your needs, but they were not designed to meet your needs. They were designed to co-fellowship with you, with a creator, and encourage you in that relationship. You see what I'm saying? They're not designed to take the place of your relationship with God. And if you don't have a relationship with God, that's what happens. You look to that person as a God substitute, and no person ever makes a very good God substitute, because we're limited, extremely limited. And our basic default settings are selfishness and pride. How about that? From trying to get life from somebody who's just like you. Our default settings are lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, the boastful pride of life, and we're trying to get life from each other. Doesn't work. When we get our life from God, you want to bring life into a marriage? Go get life from God. Amen. Yeah, and there will be some life there to go around in the relationship. Amen. If people become our God substitute, one of two things will happen. They will either disappoint you and you'll get angry at them, or they will become an idol and they can do no wrong. Either way, it's a problem. We get offended when people aren't perfect, but people will always fall short of almightiness. Have you ever been let down by people in a relationship? Have you put up walls and defenses? Are you carrying baggage from past relationships? It's hard not to. Past hurts, wounds, and disappointments. And then we're creating new hurts in our relationships because of the old hurts in our relationships. Do you need to get free? Start all over? You know, even pastors aren't God. They're just as human as you. I hope you realize that. Friends aren't God. They're just as banged up as you are through life's journey, aren't they? Parents aren't God. Sometimes we're disappointed because our parents aren't God. They're just as selfish as every one of us. Coaches, teachers, mentors, buddies, BFFs, boyfriends, girlfriends, coworkers. They're all just messed up as you. That's a pretty scary thought, isn't it? The people we're looking to kind of help us get unmessed up, they're just as messed up as we are. If somebody isn't going to God, there's no hope for relationships. You know what? We're all walking, ticking time bombs of hurts and desires, wounds and fears, disappointments and dreams, expectations and shame, guilt and arrogance, pride, lust, self-pity, goodness and hate, compassion and jealousy, generosity and greed. How do we ever get along? Forgiveness. Understanding that we're all in this thing together. Forgiving people that hurt you, because you know what? You've hurt people. Maybe you know you've hurt people. Maybe you don't even know the people that you've hurt. How about we just start forgiving people and go to God for our strength? How do we ever get along? Forgiveness, understanding, grace. Don't you want grace? We have to give it to get it. How about mercy? How about making a fresh start? And as we get into this series on relationships, maybe this week you need to get some time alone with God and make a fresh start. Maybe there's somebody you need to call. Maybe there's somebody you're in a relationship with and you say, you know what, can we just start all over again? Can we just make a fresh start? Maybe there's somebody that you know that they've got something against you. That's what the Bible says. If somebody has aught against you, maybe you need to call them and make it right. Say, you know what, I got to tell you, I know you got something against me, whatever I did, I want to apologize for that. Make a fresh start with someone. How about making a fresh start with God? Starting clean, starting all over this week. As we get into relationships and learn how to have better relationships, it's going to start this week with me and you spending time with God. You know what? The Bible says His mercies are new every morning. The Bible says great is His faithfulness. I love 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us. That's the good news right there. Forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what? If God gives us a second chance, shouldn't you give somebody else a second chance? How about giving friendship itself a second chance? Maybe you've given up on relationships altogether, friendship. Maybe Lots of people just giving up on church altogether because they got hurt, they got wounded. How about giving friendship another chance? And maybe even another chance and another chance. Because you know what? Doesn't God give you another chance? Aren't his mercies new every morning? Could you give someone a little slack? Give them a little grace? Give them a little freedom, a little mercy? Maybe give someone another chance in that relationship. They've hurt you, but guess what? You've hurt others too. How about giving church another chance? How about giving small groups another chance? I'm sure there's probably people, when we talk about small groups, not me, I'm not getting into that, because of, how about giving God another chance to work through those relationships? How about giving being an articulatory surface in God's kingdom another chance? Being a joint, serving, giving. Some people got burned out on giving and serving. I've met people, I got hurt in church. I got hurt serving. They overworked me. How about giving it another chance because it's God's will? How about giving trust another chance? How about giving serving another chance? How about giving love another chance? You know, some people have given up on love. This week is Valentine's Day, and you know, some people, they've given up the possibility of ever having a good relationship. How about giving it another chance? Maybe we need to reset our love clocks and wipe the slate clean and start all over again and venture out into godly relationships, small groups, giving of ourselves. You know what? How about making February a month of new beginnings in your life? In February, just say it's going to be new beginnings in a lot of ways in my life. I want to start fresh. I want to clean out the baggage. I want to get rid of the old baggage. Like that little skit that Brenda did with small groups. That people, do you remember that? She brought those three bags up. One said rejection. One said fear. One said hurts. Is that right? And they're carrying bags. And when we meet, what it was like, I can't hug you because I'm carrying all these bags. And the skit was, through the process of relationships, she was able to get rid of the baggage and get free and get clean. Some of us are carrying some bags for years, big bags, heavy bags, weighing you down. It's time to start laughing and getting free and getting excited about the future, getting loose from some of this stuff. So how about February being a month of new beginnings for new relationships, new adventures, maybe getting into a small group for the first time in your life? How about addressing hurts, wounds, and disappointments as they occur? We'll talk about that more in the future. We need to be, learn how to have good relationships and know that disappointments and hurts and wounds are going to come and say, I have a formula for how to deal with that. I'm going to address them as they occur in a godly way. Amen. And how about just keep moving one step closer to God, not carrying all the baggage from the past and making a fresh start? I want you to think about this one thing this week, and then next week I got six or seven things I want you to think about, but I'm going to just give you one this week. The one thing I want you to think about this week is this: is my relationship with God my top priority in life? Maybe you could write that down in the notes on the back of your bulletin and just get up every morning and say, is my relationship with God my top priority in life? And think about your day, your schedule. If it is, how do I know it? Where does it, is God, one guy said, Billy Graham said this. He says, if you want me to tell you whether you love God, give me your checkbook. In other words, I can see by the treasure of your heart where it's going, I can tell whether, you have this love for God. Well, how about this? How about our schedule for the day? Is my relationship with God my top priority in life? And then I could look at my schedule and say, really? Is God my top priority in life? And I think most of us would either say, or like hope to be able to say, yeah, God's my top priority in life. Okay, how about I get up every morning and say, look at my schedule for the rest of my day. Really? Really? Is God my top priority in life? Can you just think about that this week? Amen? Anybody get anything out of this? We're going to work on relationships. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you want to have a relationship with us, Lord God. That's pretty amazing when we think about it. Knowing what you know about us, that you know every time I've messed up and every angry thought, every mean thought, every lustful thought, greedy thought, you know every murderous, hateful, envious thought that I've ever had, and you still love me. That's pretty cool. Thank you, Lord God. that you love me so much, Lord. And Lord, we just want to take some time this week to be sure that you're our first priority in life. We want to make you our first priority in life. And we just sit here this morning thinking about how good you are, how wonderful you are, how awesome you are, how fun you are to be with, how exciting it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be able to be led by the Holy Spirit day by day, how exciting it is to know that you'll speak to us right and wrong, left and right, decisions to make, places to go and not go. We're so grateful for your presence, Lord God, and not that just that you were a being that existed 2,000 years ago, but that you're alive and well on planet Earth and in my life, and you've given us the Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us. You've given us prayer language. You've filled us with your Holy Spirit so we can pray in the Spirit and we can communicate with you and we can read your word and fellowship with you. And Lord, we just confess, we go to the Scriptures not to get information, but to find you. We come to church to get closer to you. We live our life to know you. Let that be our prayer this week, like Paul, that I may know him, that I may know him. Let that be our desire, that I might know you more, Lord God. And through that, you'll help me to straighten out all my relationships. And Lord, many of us in this room, we've had some problems with relationships. We've got banged up through relationships. We've got beat up in relationships. We've gotten hurt. We've been wounded through relationships. And Lord, we want to be healed. We want to be set free. We don't want to carry that baggage with us and infect other people with it as we go forward. And you're a healing God. And you want to heal us, even this week as we're praying about this, of hurts that we've had from the past, from relationships. You want us to be free that we can bless others. And we're going to seek that this week, Lord. We're going to make you the priority of our life. And out of that, you're going to fill us with your love, with your strength, with your power, and your healing. And you're going to set us free from the hurts of the past so that we can be free to love people again, to give love and to receive love. Thank you, Lord, that you're a good God, a holy God, and a mighty God. Thank you for setting us free this week. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. I just sense the Holy Spirit just touching people right now, which is what I was just talking about. It's a very sensitive area for you. You feel the pain of relationships. I just want you to know God has a good plan for your life, and it includes freedom from the past. You don't have to carry those hurts and those wounds the rest of your life, even another day. I just ask you to begin to set people free right now, Lord God, in their hearts and in their minds from the fears and from the thoughts of the past and the fear it's going to happen again. And I just profess over them, no, you're going to protect them, Lord God. You're giving them strength. You're not going to let them get beat up the way they've been beat up in the past. People won't be perfect and people will make mistakes, but Lord, you're with them now and you're strengthening them and you're helping them and taking them to a new place. And they can be free from those hurts of the past. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask everybody an important question. If you died right now, would you go to heaven? You might be here today. You say, I hope so, Pastor. Think so. Not sure. Hey, that's a pretty important consequence to not be too sure about. You say, well, does anybody really know if they're going to heaven? Well, the Bible says, I've written these things to you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. You need to know that you got eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Someone asked Jesus that, and here's what he said. He said, you have to be born again. What does that mean? That means there comes a time in your life when you surrender your life to Christ. You ask him to forgive your sin. He does that. He forgives your sins, and he comes and he lives on the inside of you, and he makes you into a new person. If you've never done that, you're not sure if you've ever done that. That's why you're here today. In just a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. We're going to take care of that. You might be here today, though, and you say, you know what, Pastor? I did that in the past, but I'm really not where I want to be with God, and I want to make a fresh start today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not going to ask you to come up front. If either one of those two apply to you, just real quick, slip up your hand. Say, that's me. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? New start today. You want to be sure if you died tonight, you go to heaven. You want to make a new start. Anybody else? Pray this prayer with me. Everybody help them. Dear Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer, meant business with God.